Well, thanks for tuning in. You are listening to episode 35 of the Mile High Show. It is a milestone episode for us, at least for the Santos household. Our little one last week began his first week of real school. He's been in preschool for a little bit, but this was his first week of kindergarten, of big kid school, as he likes to call it. We'd like to thank, first off, the good folks at Valley Learning Center, where he spent his preschool year. Kelly McCready and her staff over there are good friends of ours and sponsors of our Mile High Show podcast. So thanks to the folks at Valley. And he has begun his education, my little guy, Anthony, 5 years old and entering the world of academia. So I think that's a word. Me not knowing if that's a word is the perfect intro to our show today. We dropped him off, and my wife and I last week for day one. And in the course of conversing with some parents, a couple other five-year-olds, and some staff from his new school, excuse me, it became painfully evident that I am the last person in the world to give advice for a young student. Now, any listeners out there, I think there's a couple that I have known since childhood that have gone to school with me, that we roam the halls of Mount Eden High School in Hayward, California together. We cut class together. We got in trouble in junior high at Calaroga Junior High, which is no longer in existence. I think it's Martin Luther King Junior High. And, of course, the playgrounds of Pomacea Elementary School in the Pomacea neighborhood of Hayward, California. We got in lots of trouble together. Let me rephrase that. I got in lots of trouble, and there were a couple of folks that were standing side by side with me. Any of those folks, any of my family, know I am not the guy to give advice to a young student. My wife pointed that out, that of all the bad influences in his life, I am right there at the top of his list. So I sought out some advice for my young little student. And what better place to seek advice than a place where advice flows free? And that is at a local watering hole. So we stopped in at Brick and Bones Moonshine Bar and Bistro to get some words of wisdom. You figure there's always folks with opinions, valid or not, bellied up to any bar. So I took the microphones on out and stopped at Brick and Bones and got some sage words of advice. And as luck would have it, I stumbled across a band just coming off the stage, who I've been trying to get on the show. We've been trading some messages back and forth, but Salt of the Earth, they play a vast variety of different types of music, some originals, some covers, with their own unique spin on it, with some folk and Americana mixed in. That is Salt of the Earth. They were just coming off the stage at the patio at Brick and Bones. And since we've been trying to hook up anyway, we'll get them on for a full podcast soon to talk just about their music and let them play a tune or two. But the other day when I stopped in, they were just coming off stage, and it just happened by coincidence. The band is made up of a few former and current educators, administrators, principals, teachers that have now grouped together and started playing music in and around Prescott. So I sat down with a couple of members of the band, so you'll hear their words of advice, not only for students, but for parents as well. So they set me straight on a few things. And last week's episode, Leslie Earl Lyman was sitting down in the patio too. So we handed the mic over to Les, and he gave us his words of wisdom as well. So we get a double shot of Les, a double shot of the musician, not serial killer, this week. So thank you to the good folks at Brick and Bones for letting us take up space. Look forward to Salt of the Earth playing around town on the 21st, I believe. We'll mention it during the podcast. But on August 21st, they'll be at the Black Hole Brewing Company in Prescott. And Labor Day weekend, I believe September 6th, I think it is, they will be playing at the historic and legendary Birdcage Saloon on Whiskey Row. So look for Salt of the Earth. Look for anybody's advice other than my own to help you raise your child. This week's episode, again, we're going to do this until they sick their lawyers on us. Prescott Dentistry is our unknowingly sponsor for this week. Dr. Nathan Thompson has completed the first round of work on my mouth. I have a tooth where I had no tooth before. I had put off dental work for years out of fear of pain to my mouth and pain to my pocketbook. And the good folks at Prescott Dentistry have removed those fears and filled my head with a tooth or two. So thank you to the folks at Prescott Dentistry. Thank you to Dr. Nathan Thompson. Check them out, PrescottDentistry.com. There is links on that site for you to put in your inquiry to get some info on any work you may have been putting off, and also links to their Facebook page and their Twitter feed. So get in touch with the good folks at Prescott Dentistry at PrescottDentistry.com. They're located on 350 West Whipple Street in Prescott, not too far from Prescott High School. So check out Prescott Dentistry and Dr. Thompson, and check out this episode, our all-advice episode of The Mile High Show.
Could I tell you about Joker?
Okay, let's talk about school first, okay?
Okay.
Tell me what grade you're in.
Eight.
You're in eighth grade?
No, it's the class is number eight.
Oh, classroom number eight. But what grade are you in?
I don't know yet. It's just number eight.
Number eight, room eight. Are you in room kindergarten? Eight.
Kindergarten, yeah.
That's the grade. Grade is K for kindergarten. Okay, tell me what school were you in before that? What school did you go to before the new one?
Preschool.
What did you do in preschool?
Did the same thing.
Like what? What kind of stuff were you doing?
Eating snacks.
Just eating snacks? That sounds like a pretty good school. What are you doing in kindergarten?
What?
What are you doing in kindergarten?
Oh.
Do you eat snacks in kindergarten too?
Yeah.
What kind of snacks?
Break snacks.
Break snacks? Like what?
Like.
Oh, you gotta take a swig. What are you drinking there, fella?
Water.
You like water? Is that your best drink? Is that your favorite drink?
Even green soda.
Oh, you like some green soda?
Yeah.
What about coffee? Do you start the morning with a good, strong cup of steaming hot coffee every morning?
No.
Why?
Because coffee is only for big kids.
Oh, okay. Do I drink coffee?
Yeah.
I need it sometimes just to get out of bed. When I'm laying in bed snoring. All right, so what school do you go to? What school are you in? What's it called?
Kindergarten.
Yeah, but what's the name of the school?
Mingus.
Mingus. Mingus Springs Charter School. How do you like it? Is it a pretty good school?
Yeah.
Why is it so good?
It has a lot of good things.
Like what? Name me three good things.
We work our homework.
What kind of homework do you get in kindergarten? arithmetic, some geometry.
What are you talking about?
So what kind of work do you do at school?
Well, I gotta tell you this. Well, I saw someone crying.
At school?
Mm-hmm.
Why were they crying? Why was she crying?
Someone shared her feelings.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
Nah.
When
you hurt my feelings.
That's not allowed, huh?
Yeah, but guess who hurt my feelings?
Who?
Luke always does that.
Oh, that's not nice. Does he go to your school now?
No.
He's at your old school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So at this school, you try and treat everybody with respect, huh?
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
No.
Do you treat people nice?
Oh, yeah.
And you're friendly to them?
Yeah.
Do you say good morning all the time?
Sometimes.
Okay. What do you do in the morning when Pop drops you off at school?
Play.
Play in the playground?
Yeah.
You play in the playground for a little bit, and then you go to your classroom, classroom 8?
Yeah.
Do you guys count?
We count some.
You count some?
Yeah.
And then you look at letters and stuff too, huh? Okay, so when you get to school and you start learning the alphabet and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
How high can you count?
About 100.
You can count to 100? We counted to 52 the other day. You remember why?
Mm-mm.
What were we doing with those cards?
Counting how many we got.
And how many were there? It was 52, and then there was a couple of jokers. Do you learn how to play cards at school?
Yeah.
Do they teach you how to play poker?
What's poker?
They haven't taught you how to play poker yet. How about dice? Do you guys shoot dice over at Mingus Springs?
No.
No, you don't shoot dice? No gambling in the parking lot? Hanging out in the parking lot? I did a lot of that when I was in school. Used to hang out in the parking lot.
And you were hiding from the teachers.
Sometimes I hid from the teachers, yeah.
And introduce yourself.
All right, I'm Michael Lewis. I teach special education at Mountview Elementary School. I play in a band called Salt of the Earth.
And was this a field trip to the bar for your special ed kids today?
No. Because
we are in the patio.
Actually, there were some employees from my school here watching. But it was not a field trip.
Where do you teach?
Mountain View Elementary School.
Mountain View L. Where's that? Where's Mountain View?
Prescott Valley.
Prescott Valley.
Right on Luce.
Well, I stumbled across, evidently, the perfect table. As I was saying before we clicked the recorder on, my son, who many people mistaken for my grandson, I've got a 5-year-old, and I'm way closer to 50 than I am to 5, that's for sure.
I'm 52 with a kid that'll be 7 in about a week and a half.
Oh, wow. Although my wife does tell people that she is raising twins, they just happen to be 46 years apart, is what she tells them. He started kindergarten this past week, so this is kind of my back-to-school episode, and it was made painfully aware to me by both faculty, other parents, and my own wife, and a couple of cracks from my son, that I am ill-equipped to give students advice.
Now, why?
And these are from people that don't even know about what happened when I was in school.
Interesting.
If they knew about me in school, then I think they're well qualified to say that. So what I'm looking for is little snippets that I could play back for my son that will assist him to be successful throughout his scholastic career, that if he does better than me, will last more than the next 9 years. Tell me, what's good advice? What are some pearls of wisdom for a young lad entering into his academic career?
You know, my son was in kindergarten 2 years ago, and full day, because I know there's half and full. And the first couple of weeks is a major adjustment. After they get over the adjustment of full-day school and they're coming back not tired, the best advice is follow the teacher's rules, stay in line,
I'm glad I'm not in school anymore. I can't do either of those.
Make sure you follow the line, because if you're out, then you get, you know, go to the cafeteria and get your lunch when you're supposed to. Obviously, recess is fun. Color within the lines, eventually.
What kind of job skills should I expect as a parent for my kindergarten to come home with? Because we've been footing the bill for 5 years now.
Coloring within the lines, writing on the baseline.
So, house painter, you're thinking that that's probably where he'll be?
Because
I've interviewed and dealt with enough artists around here to know that if he goes in that vein, he's not going to be supporting me anytime soon.
What are his current interests?
Batman and... Billionaire Bruce Wayne is
good. Does he draw?
He does draw. He does draw, and he draws better than me, and he can't stay in the lines better than me.
And does he like books?
Yes, he loves books.
So his future job may be a librarian.
A librarian,
because
okay.
My son wants to be one, and he's almost seven. He's already said he wants to be a librarian.
Well, that the only problem I see with that is the way the digital world's going. You know, a librarian can work completely off of a smartphone now.
Please don't tell my son that. He's looking forward to
it. I love holding a book.
He wants to go to the library and look on the shelves.
I love holding a book. I've got several things on my phone, different, you know, downloads that I've got. I don't like. It's not the same. I like to...
You have to just check out the shelves, feel the books.
Wandering through the I got a nice library of trashy novels at home, but that's not quite what I'm trying to steer
into. Yeah, he goes up to the children's section. But
now, we did prepare him ahead of time for the long days, because he goes now from 7:50 to 2:30.
He's going to come home tired.
No, well, he's already his preschool. He was in preschool for a year.
Okay.
I'll give Kelly McCready a plug, Valley Learning Center out in Chino Valley. She did her and her staff did a great job with him. And they had an all-day program that you could take advantage of. Some were in their half day, some were partial. My wife would drop him off on her way to work and at about 7:30. I work nights, so oftentimes I would forget and wouldn't pick him up till about 6. So he's already pretty dialed into that full day, clocking in and clocking out. So I think the lengthy days are. I think he's pretty
he's
well.
Got, he's got it dialed.
Them. Yeah, they would have it pretty good. They gave him some work experience. He would work the desk sometimes, helping the other parents sign in and out. He did actually.
If he's already proven that he's a helper. Yeah. All I know is this
is disturbing, man.
Kindergarten is there may be some crying.
So far, he's been pretty good.
And that's okay.
The first couple months of preschool, were not good. Now he actually got an opportunity to go in to kindergarten last year. They had some openings. He didn't quite make the age cut. Then a couple months in, they had some openings and called us and said, we can maybe work him in. But that was right when he really started to not fuss so much going into preschool. We said, that changed so fast, might be too rough on him. So we gave him the full year
that was good.
Of preschool to give him some confidence.
That was a good choice. You know, I tell you, as the year progresses, just see how he's doing. Check in with his teacher frequently.
So you're saying effort on my part?
Yeah, as a parent. I mean, I would ask
this
Mike.
This is going to be this is going to be tough already.
Yeah, it's like I would ask his teacher. Well, he goes to school, the same school I teach at. So yeah. I could ask her daily.
So all you got to do is look down the hall.
Is he a parent pickup or a bus rider?
But no, we live really close to the campus. So
then when you pick him up, just do a quick 2-minute check-in with the teacher. How did he do today?
Okay. Note to self, was he in red, yellow, or green? Before I go pick him up then, is what
you're
saying.
And also be aware of her behavior chart. Is it green, yellow, red? What are her colors? Because...
Man. This sounds like more work for me.
Well, no,
we might have to send him back to preschool.
Yeah, you know what? And Steve's a grandpa and a dad and a former educator of 30 years and administrator. I'm going to pass it off to
him. I tell you what, if I had you as just looking over the table here, if I had you as a principal instead of Mr. DeVinny, I probably would have shaped up a little bit better. No?
I'm going to pass it off.
He looks like he might have rode in on one of them bikes I saw out front.
No, no, no. All right,
real quick, plug the band again.
Oh, okay. Well, played.
Where can folks see your schedule and
Facebook.
Get in contact?
We have a Salt of the Earth Facebook page, Prescott, Arizona, because there's more than one Salt of the Earth.
Any website attached to it, or do you primarily use social media?
Social media.
Gotcha.
And we post our monthly shows, which is only about two or three a month. And we're eventually going to record a CD. You just got to figure out when and where.
I had a guest last week that said that, too. I think he's been working on it for about 35 years.
It'll probably take us another 10 to finally get it dialed in, though. But
where are you guys at? What's your next thing coming up?
Next gig, August 21st, Black Hole Brewery, 7 to 10, Friday night.
Nice, nice.
I'm going to pass it to Steve, the grandpa, former administrator, educator.
It's not going to pick you up until you're right on top of it. We'll let him do the birdcage update. All right. This is Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold that mic up really close to the ear so you
right
can hear what I'm...
Hello.
All right, what's the birdcage?
Birdcage, September 6th, 2 to 6.
September 6th. So Black Hole on the 21st of September?
August.
August.
Yep.
And then September?
6th, Sunday.
6th on
over
a Sunday
Labor Day
at the
weekend.
Birdcage.
Labor Day weekend, Sunday.
The historic... legendary Birdcage Saloon.
It becomes more that way all the time.
So what do you guys play? What can folks expect to hear from you when you hit the
stage? We play a blend of Americana originals, folk. We do some classic rock stuff that we kind of make our own.
Yeah.
We're a little bit different than a lot of bands because we have a female vocalist, acoustic guitar player, mandolin player. I primarily play bass, but also play acoustic, too, on some songs. And, excuse me. So that's pretty much what we do and what we cover. So,
nice.
And it's kind of eclectic. It's good. Because of the female vocalist, we cover a lot of women singer-songwriters and
nice.
Stuff like that. That unless you really listen to stuff like that, you go, oh, they must have written that. So it's good. It's good. It's a lot of fun.
Give me a little bit about your educational background. Educational or corrective? What was the correctional institution?
I could say that if
I know
there's
a couple of my buddies who, when they talk about going to college, quote unquote,
if any of my former teachers knew what I eventually went into, they would be those who may still be alive would still be shocked. Those who are gone are rolling over in the grave because I went to three junior high schools and two high schools, and it wasn't because we moved.
All right.
So
what was the trouble you were getting into?
teacher.
What was the trouble you were getting into in junior high?
I just didn't want to do what they asked me to do. I was probably like ADHD before they knew what that was.
Before that, we
and
had a term.
It was so I was
just,
hard to deal with.
You were just troubled.
I was a happy guy, but I just did what I wanted to when I wanted to. And so, you know.
How have you seen that change over the years from student to educator far as ADHD and different other?
I think for the most part, I think educators are better prepared to deal with a variety of students. And, of course, there's the medicine thing that's come across. I think a mistake that a lot of people make is they think educators want kids to be medicated or ADHD, and it's not necessarily true. Many of the people I taught with, that we were in agreement that, sometimes it's a necessary evil because the kid will settle down and start succeeding where before, no matter what you tried to do, they were just, they're off the charts. So I think, you know, and those are some changes that I've seen through. So that's a 30-year career. So
going over your time in 7th, 8th grade as junior high, was it more just...
As a teacher or a student?
As a student.
Okay.
Not holding your interest and having hard time concentrating, or were you getting into what would be now termed criminal activity? Because I'm betting the statute of limitations is gone already.
I'm taking the fifth on that one.
Mine wasn't. My first foray off campus in seventh grade was with with a guy who he was in eighth grade, but I'm going to bet he was probably, instead of, what was eighth grade, 13, 14?
Yeah, so he was probably
He was
like
probably
16.
About 16.
Yeah.
He was 6'1", shaving twice a week, and he would drive his mom's car to school and park in the faculty lot because she worked graveyard shifts. Yeah. So she would come home 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, go to sleep. He would wait for her to crash and then drive her car.
Yeah.
And then at lunchtime, we would go on little rides around town.
Well, through ninth grade, I grew up in the ghetto. I grew up in inner city Los Angeles.
L.A.?
Yeah. So that's my background and where I'm from. And even though I listen to rock and roll and stuff, I actually grew up listening to more of Motown.
Motown? What
R&B
years are you
stuff.
Talking about? Junior high
60s.
Years.
Junior high was 66.
Oh, wow.
To 68, 69.
So. I wouldn't have guessed. I would have guessed we'd have been a little closer to age.
Yeah, so I'm a youngster.
I was born in 66. So.
So, no, I was 66. I was in seventh grade.
Oh, wow.
So, seventh grade. But anyway, that's so here's the thing to tell your son is in kindergarten, okay? Batman, all right? This is my advice is... Wear your cape to school, dude. Wear your cape to school. Have fun. Like Mike says, enjoy recess and everything else. Have fun in the classroom. Just remember, if your teacher asks you to settle down, do the best you can to settle down and do what you have to do with school. But, you know, and the reason why I say wear your cape is up until last year, I was at Lincoln School over here for 3 years just doing all kinds of things. And this little kindergarten kid came up last year, and I would sit there and see him running, and he'd wear a cape every day. And he ran up to me, and he goes, Mr. Warden, guess what I'm going to be when I grow up? And I go, what, buddy? His name was Race, by the way, and his first name. That's true. He goes, I'm going to become a superhero. And I go, you go for it.
With that name. Wasn't Race Bannon? No?
So,
was that Race Bannon was Speed's brother.
Okay. Racer
X. Yeah, he was Racer X.
Okay.
So.
Oh, well, spoiler alert. Did we just wreck Speed Racer for him? Now, he started last Monday.
Yeah.
And we dropped him off, and he was really quiet while they lined up and everything, just getting used to it. But there was a couple of kids that were in tears. There was a couple of parents in tears.
Sure.
But I didn't think he would go there. Like I said, his year in preschool kind of gave him confidence.
Preschool is huge. Those kids that go to preschool first,
they're
so, you know, for the most part, they're just so much better adjusted.
He had a rough going in the first few months of preschool, but that year really solidified his confidence. Yeah. I'm sure it did.
So,
but he knew nobody in his class.
Right.
But we have a couple of friends that have kids that are a little older in second grade and throughout the elementary
grades. They're wise.
So he knew he's got allies on campus.
Right.
But he was a little quiet and he was a little sus, taking some pictures from odd, standing on the other side of the fence taking pictures at an elementary school. I guess they let you do that the first day. If I continue to do that, they may...
Well,
they may frown on that.
There are
some
laws and effects.
Some old guy hanging out.
Well, there's laws and effect now.
The next day, I asked his teacher, Mrs. Robinson. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Asked, how did he do? She goes, he's doing really well. He's a good guy. But he's got to learn not to talk so much. But he was really good. I said, well, he gets that from dad. He gets that from his pop, the talking.
Yep.
So I walk and thank you very much. Everything's good. Got us some papers. We get in the car. I buckle him up. I said, who were you talking to? He goes, well, no, first I asked him, I go, were you talking when you weren't supposed to? And he goes, yeah, a couple of times. And I said, well, who were you talking to? He goes, nobody.
Nobody.
And
talking.
That bothered me a little bit. So the next day I asked Mrs. Robinson, was he just sitting in the corner talking to himself? Because, we might have to rethink his placement. And she goes, no. So I called him over. I go, well, you said you were talking to nobody. He goes, well, I didn't know his name. So, now we know it's not an imaginary friend. He actually has a Robin to his Batman, I guess. So.
There you go. So.
But she did say he had to be told a couple of times, but... I think that's his confidence shining through a little bit.
That's just normal, too, there. You know, they all learned, you know. Kindergarten is, it's a huge year. It's, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just it's huge for parents. Doesn't matter if it's your first one or your last one. Or your first and last. Could be, you know.
Yeah, he's our only.
Yeah, so.
He was a surprise 15 years after marriage, found out he was on the way, and that was a little shocker.
There you go.
So.
Yeah, as a teacher, I would sit there and say, we got this. Get out of here. Yeah.
So where'd you go out? What was your first teaching assignments?
My first teaching assignment?
Was it little kids?
No, I was, for the most part, well, actually, all my career, I was a middle school teacher and administrator.
Locally here?
No, in Salt Lake and then Phoenix. And when I retired, actually, I moved up here and I just got a paraprofessional job to make a little extra cash and get health insurance
and keep your your fingers in the educational pie a little bit.
I love working with kids.
Yeah.
They just make me happy and make me smile. Every day it's different. No day is the same with kids. And I love working with them. And, you know, like I said, if all my teachers growing up would have known what I would have turned out to be, it would have just... I would have blown them away.
What's that old saying? If I only knew then what I know now. Put yourself back in elementary school and grade school, knowing what you know now. What would you have done different?
Seriously?
Yeah.
I would have stayed away from the drugs.
Yeah. You and me both.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember the mid-'80s.
Yeah. So it's.
I don't think you missed much.
So I, you know, and I don't regret it because it's just what I did.
It created who you became now.
Yeah, and it, you know, it put me in some different directions on things and stuff.
Yeah, I dread and look forward to kind of a two-edged sword. Him hitting high school because we were very, very creative in getting away with things.
Oh, sure.
And there's not much I didn't attempt, not much I didn't succeed at as far as the bad things to do. Several years ago, I had a nephew that came, my wife's sister's kid, who was having a lot of trouble in California. And they came out for a visit, and he didn't realize on the drive out here from the Bay Area that... he had a lot more luggage than the rest of the family did, and he didn't go home with them. He spent his senior year living out here in Arizona from us, with us, and he was having a little trouble. They thought the change of pace would do him good, and it did. Helped him out, but he tried to get away with a lot of stuff, and I sat him down the first couple times that he was acting up, and I said, you can try, but there's nothing... that you can think of
that I haven't done.
That I haven't done and done better than you. And sure enough, we caught him.
I have two grown children, and it's like I told him, I go, it's going to be hard to pull something over on Dad.
But then again, by the time my son's in high school, I'll be in my
70s. You'll be senile.
Yeah, I'll be. He'll get to push me in my wheelchair to his graduation.
It's all right. It'll be good. So.
So, summing up, couple words, couple bullet points. You mentioned about his personality, wearing the cape. But what are some good things?
That could be literally or figuratively. You know, it's...
Well, how figuratively? How would that...
Well, just be yourself, you know? I mean, that's... A good teacher is not going to stifle a kid. They're going to kind of guide him and redirect him as needed in a way that they can understand.
Now, how as parents can we... encourage that creativity, encourage that expression, and at the same time dial down the need for discipline and for you know, time and a place. What are the ways to do that?
The thing with the kid is, if he knows with school and home, if they're in communication, they're not going to be able to put things over. Because one of the big things that kids do, you may recall this, is if your parents weren't really in touch with what was going on at school, you would go home and you would lie about something.
Never lie.
You know, and it's pretty interesting. The communication between home and school is huge. And that's one of the things I liked about working at Lincoln was it's truly a community school.
Now, where is Lincoln?
Lincoln's right here.
That's
right there on Park.
Okay.
I
know that campus. I've been there for. I do some work with local media. I've been there a couple times.
And
neat old campus.
Yeah, I would just, you know, keep that communication open, because if your child knows that, they know they're not going to put anything over.
Yeah.
Let them explore. If they want to try something, you know, if it's feasible and it's not going to hurt them and kill them, I say go for it.
You know, if they lose the interest, that's okay. You know, that's something I see is a certain segment of people that are afraid to take chances at anything anymore. Yeah. And
that's something I have never been accused of, by the way.
So, and me either. I take those chances. So, and I still do, even, you know.
Well, thanks. Do you play with anybody else other than Salt of the Earth? Or?
Don Cheek and I have been friends since 1989, and we've played together since then. Yeah. We've played in a few bands together in Phoenix and stuff. And
now, did you work with him in the school system?
We started,
Oh, wow.
In Avondale. And then
I had him on the show a few months back and had a nice long chat with him.
Okay, yep.
I knew nothing about his background other than the music I've seen here.
He's actually my daughter's godfather.
Oh,
so,
great,
Yeah, we're pretty close friends, so.
Nice.
In fact, we can tell each other to go to hell and it's all good. Cause, you know,
there's a lot of people that don't know me well that tell me that on a regular basis.
There you go. So.
Well, let's hear from Terry.
I'm going to pack my stuff.
Microphone's intimidating.
All right, serial killer.
Look, we got that straightened. Straightened out.
I butchered his name 3 or 4 times last week when we were talking. I was jokingly flipping it around, and then I couldn't get it right.
No. No, it was just like
James Earl Ray, James Earl Jones,
Leslie Earl Lyman. Yeah. So then I go to the website, and pop it, and it goes. He goes, musician, not a serial killer. And I about fell out of my chair. I was like...
That could either be comic relief or false advertising.
Well, I don't know, man. You just don't know, do you? You know, it's been... You know, it's, I don't know.
Well, we talked about your history pretty in-depth last week. Yeah. So let's just boil it down. Give me some bullet points on advice
for a kid,
young man entering into his academic career.
Well, entering into kindergarten?
Yeah.
Learn how to tie your shoes and don't lose them. That's about it. I mean, that's about it. He's in the like.
I need that advice.
Pretty much that. When you're that age, I have 3 female children, and the thing is that like
that
they don't know who they are. You know, it's like it's hard to be yourself when you don't know who you are yet. And the process when you're going to school and like you know it. That should be that process. So just keep it simple. You know, don't lose your shoes. You know, don't lose your shoes. Like try to.
I had similar advice in general when I was in high school, but it was don't lose your pants.
Well, yeah, but pretty much basically is like you know don't lose your shoes and try. I mean, this is going to sound funny coming from me, but try to listen more than you talk. You know, and.
Well, he's got
lastly,
me for a pop, so he has to. He has no choice.
Well, yeah, but you have
can't
to try.
Get a word in edgewise.
Well, you have to the thing is trying, and then the last thing is that like it's okay to fail. It's a part of the learning experience. That's how people are so worried about you know not being not getting something right on the first try that they fail to realize that like learning that's how you learn stuff. You start out maybe not being so good at something and it's difficult and it's frustrating. You know, reading, writing, not losing your shoes. You know these kind of things, but it takes practice and you have you know everybody learns at their own pace and. A lot of times people are just, you know, like there's all this pressure. You know, the kids get a lot of pressure to be perfect. Like, oh, no, you messed something up. And for me, it's like, okay, so you messed something up. What did you do wrong? What'd you learn from that? And that's the trick, I think, is that, like, you know, I mean, you're supposed to be learning something, you know. And it's hard, and a lot of times it's embarrassing, you know, particularly for small children and people that I mean myself I pretty much had the embarrassment over you know embarrassment in general over things like you know like because of what I've chosen to do beat out of me because you know you know like you really do a lot better if you go up there and sort of not so much not care but like you know just be comfortable with what you're doing. And it's a learning process. And you have to become comfortable with failing. You have to become comfortable with, like, sometimes, like, I'm going to stub my toe and it's going to hurt and it's okay to cry, you know. The biggest thing, you know, like, lastly, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, if there's something you really want to do, don't give up. Don't give up. Like, keep trying. Keep trying at it. If it's something you really, really want to do, keep working on it until you get there. And when you're and that's a lot of concepts for somebody that's going into kindergarten. You know, there's it's like it's because you have to. You know, it's just a difficult thing to like to sort of expect them to like. They have all these. You know, there's all these new rules. There's a new teacher. There's a new this. There's new people. Your son was talking to somebody in class and he was enjoying it. You know, he sounds like a gregarious little fella. You know. And, you know, and that's good. You know, that's good. But it's, you know, I would recommend, I swear to God, I would recommend that you get that Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, and sit down and read it to him at, like, every important juncture in his life. Because it will mean something different to him at different ages. Particularly the part about the toughest games you're going to play are the games you play with yourself. And one of the hardest places to be in is the waiting place, where you're waiting for this to happen or for your check to come or for someone to finally notice that you're there and you're waiting for something to happen and you're spinning your wheels. And, you know, those things happen, you know. And so, you know, that book is like that book is all my daughters have one. Yeah, I know. I give it to other people, too, because they're going through transitions. I think that, like, I'm probably going to give Steve one because he's in retirement now, you know. But it's just really this book full of, like, wisdom as opposed to, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, this is how life is going to be. You know, it's going to go like this. Everything's going to be great, and then it won't be, you know. But you'll continue on, and it happens to everybody, and it's okay.
Now, some of these are probably going to be the same.
Yeah, yeah.
But now give the parent some bullet point advice. Give me advice on how to help him succeed.
They learn
first,
a lot
more. I better learn how to tie my shoes. And not lose it. I wear a lot of rubber, like, flip-flops.
Yeah,
so
well, you know. They learn a lot more, I think, by what you do rather than, like, how you handle things than what you say. And that is the hardest thing because you have to be – you have to try to be, you know, like – I mean, you have to try – they're going to base – like, you know, the memories that you have of how your dad handled things, that's you now. You know, and it's really very hard to be, somebody better than you are all the time. You know, like, I think that's one of the biggest things that happen when they get to be teenagers is that they see us when they're little, you know, like, you're dad man. You know, you are like, there's nothing, you're the strongest man in the world. Your mother is the most pretty. There's nothing, you know what I mean? And like, you know, like mom can make pain go away by kissing the boo-boo. And dad can fix anything and stuff like that. And then they start seeing you as people when they hit high school, right? You know, because all of a sudden they're
all
like.
All the warts and.
Well, no, they just start seeing. Well, and there's this down thing, I think, because they see you. As they see the other side, it doesn't make you a bad person, but then all of a sudden they realize that you're a human being, and like that, I really believe that's part of why we have problems with them because they start becoming their own person by looking at you and going, "Well, you're not perfect,"
yeah.
So you can help yourself out a lot.
Well, he's ahead of the game because he realized a long time ago, I'm not perfect.
Well, I think that like there's that. He's not going to be. I mean, how old is he now?
Five.
But he's not. Well, he's going to be 16, and he's going to be your size. You know, he's going to be like your height. He's going to be for all intents and purposes, like physically anyway, pretty much grown up, and he's going to be doing that thing where he's like, well, you know, like. Yeah, wanting to do things on his own and stuff. So you have to get him to like
me now so he won't beat me up.
Establish respect.
Gotcha.
Establish respect like as if you can because like respect liking somebody, right, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to that you're going to like, you know, like going to be someone that, that can go, hey, I think maybe you should do this instead.
Yeah.
But if the person respects you, not fears you, right? You know, not like, you know, not fears you. I think that's a that that's something that like that we try to avoid. You know, it's gonna not fears you, right? You know, but like that respects what you have to say because you've like that you've been smart and you've made good and you've shown yourself to be, you know, like a reliable source of wisdom. You know, like
I got some work to do.
Well, you know, dude, don't we all? Don't we all? I mean, it is the hardest thing that people ever do because you're trying to grow somebody into a human being, a balanced human being, and all your flaws, person, like the way that you deal with something. You know, if you have like me, like this thing where you have to vent first and then deal with something, you know, that can like they're going to pick up on that. That's how you do this. That's how you handle this stuff is that you free, instead of like what I would prefer that I did, which was like, you know, breathe a second and then deal with it instead of like, you know, venting a little, you know.
So one of the biggest lessons that he's already learned is that as soon as he sees me get the toolbox out and go to work on the car, he knows to get out of ear distance. Otherwise, the next thing he will be learning is a very wide vocabulary.
Well, they're going to learn that too. I have to tell you, this is absolutely like absolutely one of the best stories I have on my kids. Okay, and one of my favorite. Like, I'll preface this as like with one of my favorite movies, Christmas movies of all time, is A Christmas Story. You know, and in particular, the part where, you know, like like all of a sudden he's got this opportunity to help his dad change the tire. Remember that?
I think so. Yeah.
And then like he drops it and he says, "Oh fudge!"
Yeah.
Right? You know, except that's not what he said. If I recall correctly, the phrase is
garbled it.
But no. He said, well, in the movie it's "Oh fudge" because they kept their rating. But what he says was, "That's not what I said." That's not what I said. I said the Queen Mother of all words, and like, you know, and the thing is that like, you know, he got in trouble for it, right? And he got his mouth washed down and stuff. But the thing is, the mom's like, "Where'd you hear that?" And he learned it from dad when he was downstairs, right? You know, and but he couldn't say that. So fast forward some time, right? You know, so I'm married. We're living in Boulder, and I'm fixing my kid's bike. You know, it's actually one of the things that I was doing. Like, I had to do a lot because that's how I got around up there, is on my bicycle. It was better, actually. You could get across town on your bike quicker than you could in a car. But nonetheless, I'm fixing my bike, and she's helping me. And I forget exactly what happened, but it was almost like a drop tool or something like that. And she goes, "Oh, fudge," right? Appropriately, used the word appropriately, where I would use something like, looked at me with this angelic smile on her face. And I was just like, and she was so proud of herself because she was just like me. And I was like, you know, but that's what I'm saying. You know, like, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. They're going to pick up everything from you, the stuff you want, the stuff you don't do. So that whole thing where, like, you know, that, like, which is something my dad would say, which is do as I say, not as I do, yeah. Right? You know, for me, it got turned into that, and I sort of what I told my kids, like, look, there's the right way, the wrong way, and my way, okay, you know, and I understood the right way and the wrong way first, you know what I mean, and then I do it this way because, you know, so you were free to do that, but, you know, they pick up on that stuff. They pick up, so that's it. You know, it's like the rest of it is just, you know, it's just such a daunting task to raise kids, man. I mean, you know, like even I didn't feel qualified to raise the ones that I had.
So. I think the next part of this, we should talk to his daughters and see how if you could see the look on his face.
I think that would be fascinating if you could get them to do that. But the big part about it is like, you know, they're just, it's just how it is. You know, it's just how it is. You have, like, they're going to pick up what you do. So you have to try to be, like, every day you wake up and you try you have to make a conscious decision to try to be a better version of yourself, which is really hard because I'm not better. we're all flawed and stuff, but you want to try to give the better parts of yourself and not the things where like perhaps you know you acted up in school and stuff, you know, and it's like or that you were doing, you know, like you're or you know, gosh, I'm running out of I'm just trying to find the right words, or just like your nephew came out, right? You know, I mean a lot of what was going on with him is he was in an environment that allowed that not only allowed him to have problems, but it was expected. It was easier. It was stuff like it. Coming out here, it's a little different.
Helped him was the morning I woke him up about 4:30, drove him out about 30 miles west of Seligman, left him there, and then went and had breakfast and came back and picked him up a couple hours later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
He was pretty good after that.
Well,
he was a good kid. Turned out to be a real good kid.
Well, it doesn't. Well, the thing is that's situational. You know, I mean, because like I got to be honest with you that how old was he? 17. I'd have just walked home.
Yeah, we were living in Chino.
Yeah, I'd have just hitchhiked home. I'd have just hitchhiked home and like you know and gone on my merry way. You know because
wouldn't have got to live with me for another 6 months.
Well, you know, but the tough love stuff, it's real situational. Some people it works on, some people it doesn't. Some people just I don't want to make any sort of hard.
No, we're holding you to all of this.
Hard
and
behavioral.
In about 12 years. If my kid has problems, guess who I'm going to come see?
You should know how to tie his shoes at least. You know?
So let's just sum it up. We're gonna sum up our little conversation here. The secrets of success for kindergarten kids is one, don't listen to podcasters. Two, don't lose your shoes.
Right. Learn how to tie your shoes and don't lose them.
Yeah. Wear a cape whenever possible.
Right.
And on the 21st of August and the 6th of September, catch salt of the earth.
That's right.
I think we've summed it up pretty good. So we have encouraged wearing costumes to school.
I'm not in that band.
And
okay, just so you know.
wearing costumes to school and 5-year-olds hanging out in bars. I think we've nailed it.
When someone tries to put me down and says it's good.